offices on Friday, January 31st, 1997. What we're going to do is ask Representative Itkin to give us a picture of his background, his family roots, his origins, and so forth, and get a good picture of someone who is well known in the Pittsburgh community and is part of our own mutual history.
And your name?
This is Hyman Richmond and Bess Carlowitz.
Good morning. I'm very pleased to participate in this project. To start out with, my parents, my father was born in Russia, actually in Belarus, White Russia, which is now an independent country, in the a village outside of Minsk, which is the capital city of Belarus. He came to this country at an early age, at age six, when his father brought the entire family with him. His father was a cigar manufacturer and had made several trips to the United States back in the late 19th century and early 20th century, and decided, because of the climate that was going on in Russia, that it would be better for him to relocate his family to this country. And so my father, at age six, with the other children, emigrated to the United States. He was born in 1901, and he came, I believe it was 1907, that they arrived in this country. My mother is a Native American, was born here, but her parents emigrated from Germany a generation earlier than that. They both met in New York City, where they were married, and at that time, that was 1929, actually, they remarked that they were married on Armistice Day, November the 11th, so we had to keep peace in the family. I was born in 1936. My parents lived in New York City proper. They lived, my father grew up in the Lower East Side, and then they moved to Pelham Bay, and my mother also grew up in Lower East Side, and after they married, they moved to the Bronx, and then when I was I was born in 1936.
What sort of work did they do?
At that time it wasn't appropriate for women to work. Women were homemakers, if that's the. And my father was a at that time was an auditor for the city of New York, in the controller's office, a fiscal examiner, and then an auditor for the city.
What brothers and sisters did you have?
I'm an only child. I never had siblings. I shouldn't say that. My mother did conceive on a couple of occasions, and additional occasions that I know of, but there were one or more miscarriages, and so I did not end up with any siblings.
What about your youth in the early neighborhood? You lived in the Lower East Side.
Well, I didn't live in the Lower East Side. My parents married, they moved to the for the Bronx. The West Bronx, the Fordham section of the Bronx, and then they moved to Manhattan in the Inwood section, which is a small neighborhood just north of Washington Heights, where the George Washington Bridge connects New Jersey with Manhattan. In about the street number, 200 Street near Dyckman Street, if that's that may be familiar to some of the listeners. I had a normal upbringing. I went to PS 152, the elementary school, which is just across the street from where I live. Went to junior high school, junior high school 52, which was about 7 or 8 blocks from where I lived. A feeder school from a number of elementary schools, and then I went to high school at the Bronx High School of Science, which is a public school, specialized public school in the New York City school system. All that time I was living in Upper Manhattan, and we finally moved to, well, we didn't move, I went to college which was not at that time, was the Polytechnic Institute of Brooklyn.
Before you went, was there any special education, community activities, any special training, after school activities in the neighborhood?
Yeah, I was active in the Boy Scout movement. I myself was a scout, and then was a scout leader as well. I don't recall of any other really memorable community activities.
What about family activities? Were there other relatives nearby?
Yeah, my mother was one of six siblings, and my father had a similar number of brothers and sisters.
Were there many holidays?
So there were a lot of gatherings, and we generally, as I recall, as a youngster, visiting usually on Saturday and Sunday, our family went to visit family. At that time, I mean, it was at least for us, we didn't have a car, so I spent many a cold night standing at bus stops getting transfers. So I guess that's the reason why I ride public transit today as much as I do, because of my early experience.
Wasn't there a subway that ran up
there? There was a subway, but for where we lived, the most direct route was by buses. Although, of course, I went to high school and I went to college using the subway system extensively.
I see. Were there any special kinds of family events, or were these what the usual, the weddings, the birthdays?
Well, it wasn't. Sure, we got together for weddings and birthdays and those types of family events. But in my family, while my grandparents were living, they would generally have the children over with the extended family. So it was
this included the grandparents on your father's
side. Not my mother's side. I should clarify. Yeah, it was mostly most of my family relationships in terms of going to events was on my mother's side. They were a much more closer knit family on my father's side. My father's family was generally older, and by the time I was growing up, a number of his brothers had died, and the family sort of I didn't know my paternal grandfather. He was dead before I was born, and my paternal grandmother died when I was still a very young child. So I didn't really have much reference to my father's side of the family, but I do recall on my mother's side. My grandparents my maternal grandparents, grandparents, they were basically host of family events, and it was not unusual to have, on a weekend to have 15 or 20 people milling about in a very small farm.
And cousins.
Well, yeah, my mother's brothers and sisters would bring their children, and it was crowded. It always had a party atmosphere to it.
Were there many neighborhood activities at Sullivan House or community centers or any of that sort of, or synagogues or anything?
Yeah, we had we were affiliated with a synagogue that was just down the street from us. I recall that when I was growing up, we then decided to go to another synagogue. I think for some reason my father preferred a different synagogue, and so he basically led us, and we went to another synagogue. As I remember, it was much further away, and we would walk, so I could never understand why would you walk 12 blocks or 10 blocks when you could only walk 2 blocks. I think my father was more comfortable with the liturgy and the service, the way the service was performed.
What about your own? Do you have much personal association with the synagogue? Or?
Well, as a youngster, I think at age 6 I was enrolled in Cheder, and I will say my memories were it was an Orthodox synagogue, and I went after school, and for a number of years, I did not find it very. It was very traditional, and I learned to read Hebrew and to write Hebrew, and basically to read the Siddur. But it was all religious based. And,
you were bar mitzvah there?
No, I was not bar mitzvah. That's interesting. I was unhappy. After a few years, I was unhappy going there. And I guess I was sort of in a rebellious situation. And I had a friend of mine that was going to a reform temple, and he was preparing for his bar mitzvah, and his parents, and he was telling me about all the wonderful things that were going on in that temple, and how he was really enjoying that. And so finally decided that because it came to a situation, I wasn't going to go anymore. So they decided to send me to this temple, which was in Washington Heights, about for the last year before I got bar mitzvah. And you learned to chant and do the half Torah. And it was, I found it much more, I enjoyed it more because I learned, and they had a rabbi and a cantor who took a very strong interest in the bar mitzvah boys.
So you find that was more compatible with your maternal side because of their background?
No, I didn't. No, they weren't reform either. So it was just, in fact, that's interesting because when I was ready to be bar mitzvahed, this is a big synagogue, and I had a very good voice at that time, my youth. And, the cantor was preparing me for this big day, expected that I would, there was many hundreds of seats. I don't recall how large,
yeah.
But the synagogue was cavernous, in its extent, and they had microphones, and you had to, and I was going to have, this was going to be my, I was going to be on center stage with all these people, and it was just amazing. And then my mother informed me how nice it would be if I could be bar mitzvahed, because it would be very important to my grandfather, her father, if I would be bar mitzvahed in his shul. Well, his shul was a very small shul in the Bronx, up above, Katona Avenue. I don't know if it was below, but probably a cleaning establishment and what have you. And if you walked up the flight of steps,
near what cross street?
It was near Tremont Avenue and Katona Avenue. About, I think, around the 1800 block of Katona Avenue or something like that.
Which cross street?
I don't recall that. East, they were numbered streets. What?
Katona Avenue.
C-R-O-T-T-O-N-A. Katona. I don't recall that they were really significant cross streets. They were like East 186.
Yeah, but your purpose going.
But Tremont
was for the bar mitzvah.
My grandfather at the time was advancing age, and he would, I mean, my mother wanted to please him, and he would have been delighted for me to be bar mitzvah in his shul. Now, you have to understand, in his shul, I didn't really know that at the time. It was like a second story loft. They converted to a synagogue.
Yeah.
And I don't think there was any member of the congregation that was probably under 60 years of age. So, it was definitely a shul for senior citizens. And so I recall very much I had practiced all of this stuff and read my Torah and all of this stuff. And then even had records, how to chant the whole, the portion of the Torah that was. Yeah. So I went up there and I don't think they had a bar mitzvah. Who knows if that they ever had one? And, and this is just a bunch of old men. And I recall, and they sort of scurried about, and it was in the Reform Temple at that time, they made a big thing about a bar mitzvah book. He was going to get bar mitzvah, and in this very traditional Orthodox synagogue, if you made 13, they let you sit in the first row. You know what I mean? You could approach the bimah, you could get up, you could, do a daven slightly, but you aren't going to replace the rabbi or anybody else or the offices of the congregation.
Yes.
So I recall I was somewhat very disappointed, I think, because I planned all of this, and of course I didn't know what to do. So 13 years of age, I just followed instructions. Mm-hmm. And so, as I recall, when it was all over, all of the studying that I had done was for naught, because they did not give me, very long readings or anything. So I was kind of disappointed in that, but...
Now, then after that, did you... Were you involved in community activities at that time, or was it you then? Well, you're just about time to go to college, aren't you?
No, 13. Let me see. I went to a school across the street. That my parents moved. At that time, there was a lot of. This was like, I was born in 1936, so it was a depression. You could probably find an apartment anywhere in New York. So they had their choice, and they decided to decide. I was like about 2 years of age when they moved to
the city. Your dad was still working for the city?
City, yes, right. I was about 2 years of age. They moved into this apartment building. They chose the apartment building because it was right across the street from the school. You just had to cross this very small Elwood Street, and you were right into the school grounds. So they like that. And so, I mean, my, you know, 9 to 3 was school. You did, you went down to, you know, to Cheder. That was like from 3:30 to 5 o'clock or whatever it is. You came home, dinner, and it was studying. I mean, homework, and it was the next day. So, you know, the weekend, sure, I spent a lot of time in the schoolyard. Most of my the social experiences were with neighborhood children. I grew up, the building that I was, that I spent the, I think 18 years, I would say roughly 18 years in the same apartment, the same building, was a building with 151 units. So, you know, and this is a and this is not a senior citizen high rise. I mean, this is 151 units of just regular people, you know, with families and everything else. So, I mean, you know, we had, within that one building, I had, you know, a half a dozen kids my own age, and that was just within the building. And of course, they were all different ages. And I mean, I recall when the weather was inclement, and we would, leave the apartment, and there was nothing to do. We would run around the building, and the janitor would chase us. I remember that, because we were not that we caused any problems, but we would make noise, and people would complain, and you know, maybe we would, who knows, play cards or something on the steps, you know.
Well, what were the any organized activities of any kind? Athletics clubs.
As I recall, I didn't. For me, there was nothing. I mean, I served like as a, you know, as a school council member 1 year, and those kinds of things. But was I involved in? Outside of the, well, the scouts took a lot. I mean, the scouts at that time were 12. When I got to 12, between 12 and I guess 17 or 18, I was active in the scouting.
What was a scout of the community? The scouts of the community center.
The scouts was actually was in the school.
Oh, I see.
Across the street, in the school, and as I recall now. You know, there were patrol meetings on Wednesday nights, there was troop meetings on Friday night, there were,
and
you know,
forerunning,
camping events on various weekends. So, you know, I think, let me just say this, I mean, I don't think I was, I had much time left over. My time was fairly filled. Of course, you know, in those days I shouldn't say that. I don't recall television, probably. I remember getting this first television set. It was an old Dumont television set. I must have been maybe 13 or 14. And before that, you know...
That's late 40s.
Late 40s. You know, for most of my earlier years, the only entertainment you had at home was the radio. And so they would have these dramatizations on the radio.
When you went to college, which college did you go to?
I went to an engineering school. I went to Bronx High School of Science, and obviously,
any special honors or just?
I got certain awards in mathematics. I was always especially gifted in mathematics, and I got a 4-year honors achievement certificate for mathematics from Bronx High School of Science. And I went on to engineering school. I mean, there was a certain...
Which school was that?
Well, at that time it was known as the Polytechnic Institute of Brooklyn, which is now known as Polytechnic University.
And that was what year?
That was in 19... All right, let me, I enrolled in school when I was 5 in kindergarten, so that would be like 1941. And I recall that was a problem because polio. There was a problem with polio. There's this big fear about young kids congregating together and somehow passing, you know, the diseases and so on and so forth. But my mother insisted, she was very much emphatic about education. So even though some parents did not allow their kids to go to kindergarten, it was a voluntary at that time for kindergarten, she insisted that I go. So I remember I went to morning kindergarten, afternoon kindergarten, and matriculated. I was in a, they call, early an IG class and then an SP class, I guess. One was intelligence, I think the name was intelligence graded, one was SP, and then special progress. And at that time, I guess, in New York City school system, you sort of accelerated at your ability. So I graduated high school when I was 16. In 1952, I graduated. Caused me some social problems when I went to college. So I was very young when I enrolled in this engineering school. This was 1952. And we had people coming back, young men coming, they were young, but they were much older than me, coming back on the GI Bill from Korea. And so I was in classes with, here I was 16, I was just starting to shave, and I was sitting next to a man who was married, had children of his own, and we were taking the same classes. I mean, so the social milieu, you know, of my class was, I sort of felt, you know, out of it. I just couldn't relate too well. And so my social experiences in college were not very strong, and even though I went to college and had opportunities to make college acquaintances, most of my associations were still remained in the neighborhood where I lived. But that school, I mean, it's been that school. I mean, a lot of people don't know about that school, but the school was the third largest engineering school in the country, because what people forget to realize is that when you have even a large university like the University of Pittsburgh and you have the College of Engineering, that's just a small component of the huge school. So the number of students enrolled in that school, in that college, was not, we had like 6,000, over 6,000 students at the school.
Specializing in that area.
Specializing in, well, not just engineering, it had sciences, it had basic sciences. Like you could, I think, mathematics and physics and chemistry and at least eight or ten different engineering disciplines. In fact, the school had some Nobel Prize laureates that were distinguished in electrical engineering. I went into chemical engineering. My parents believed in practicality. They didn't want some, you know, they had experience with the Depression, and they knew a lot of bright people who were basically, you know, one step was above public assistance, and so they felt that you take your education and apply it to some practical vocation. So they encouraged me to go into engineering, and I went into chemical engineering basically because my strengths were chemistry and math, and what have you, and the engineering was applied to. And I got interested in. As I was there, it was one of the professors in chemical engineering that had worked in the Manhattan Project, and there is a component of the atomic bomb development that involved a lot of chemical engineering. So he was able to create a special option in the chemical engineering program for nuclear, which was, about that time I was getting a little bit chemical engineering tends to be a lot very messy. I mean, dealing with pumps and pots and slabs and it's crud, you know, so it's a messy. And I was more theoretical. I like to work with papers, not necessarily work with pumps and pipes. And so when this option came, nuclear option came, it was much more stimulating. And of course, that was the year in the 50s where Eisenhower, Atoms for Peace, and you know, we were going to develop electricity so cheap using nuclear power that you wouldn't even have to measure. I mean, the price would be so cheap. And so, I guess altruism and the feeling of being able to be on the frontiers of great changes in the world, that's the direction I went to. And when I finished at Poly, as it was known, I went, New York University offered the first master's program in nuclear engineering.
And that was what year?
That was 1956. And I enrolled in 1956 in this first master's program in nuclear engineering that was offered anywhere. There was graduate education that people were sent to, but they were really...